Hare Krishna. Before I speak about my subject matter this evening, I would like to introduce myself to you. Many of you do know me, but those who don't, my name is Sachinandan Swami, and my subject matter in this retreat is the chanting of the holy name with taste. I myself am, let me say, have made a long journey. I am now an elderly person, and maybe 25 years ago or so, I had developed a deep spiritual crisis. Other than many of my god brothers, I had not so much joined Krishna consciousness because of joining a movement. In fact, movements were highly suspicious to a person whose parents were in the very big movement in Germany. It's a historic. Yeah, we Germans are paranoid to speak about our past, but it was Hitler and all this. So movements were not really the main attraction for me, but it was a spiritual process, a promise that when you do this, you will purify your heart and you will actually become Krishna conscious and become close to the Lord. And when after some time, maybe 20 years or so, I didn't see indications that this was happening or ever going to happen. I had no real reason to continue. I was not there because of taking part in a movement. But there was one factor I could not leave aside, and that was my admiration and my gratitude to my spiritual master. But still, I needed to know what process will... Have I overlooked a process? Have I not seen something? What is this process which he has revealed to us that my heart can become purified and I can at least feel a little bit that I'm coming closer to Krishna? And it was a time of crisis. It was a difficult time, and it was during this time that I discovered, or rediscovered, I should say, the chanting of the holy name. I had come to Krishna consciousness because Jagiritari said this. I had some initial meeting with the devotees and the holy name, which was very strong for my impressionable young mind. But in the process of doing so many services and spreading the movement, I had in a way neglected this as the first and foremost practice to purify the heart and become Krishna conscious. So when I met a devotee who was very absorbed in chanting the holy name, and this devotee talked to me for 2 hours or so about chanting the holy name as the main process which Prabhupada has given to us, I rediscovered it, and at that time applied all my curiosity and all my inquisitiveness to just one question: how can I chant the holy name with devotional realizations and devotional insights? And yes, I did a thorough study of Srila Prabhupada's works, as much as an uneducated person like me can do. And also, I became determined to apply myself more to the practice of chanting. I chanted extra rounds, and I spent long times, a month or so, going deeper. And then when some initial, when my faith was again strengthened and I felt something had been given to me by Srila Prabhupada's mercy, I started to give japa and first japa retreats and later kirtan retreats, and helped in our movement to somehow make the Hare Krishnas chant Hare Krishna. If I heard in America they always like such type of phrases. Trying my best to learn your language. I'm only an insignificant player. There are other devotees who have realized it, who have done a lot of service to the holy name. Many of my god brothers I'm thinking of. His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj, Shivaram Maharaj, and for spreading Krishna consciousness, spreading the chanting, His Holiness Indradumna Maharaj. I'm not saying that I'm someone special, I just want to say that this is my journey. No? I needed to know how will this work, this process of Krishna consciousness. And therefore I was invited to come here and give for the next 2 days, Saturday and Sunday, some of the insights, and I hope I will enliven your chanting, I will inspire you. Maybe some of it will be highly empowering for you. That's my prayer, my hope. So that will be one thing. I wanted to say before I start, you can see I will make exercises with you, and it will be those who have been on the retreats where I was involved know that this will be experience oriented. But before I do this, I want to say just two words or three words about what we are going to do here. This is, as I heard from Jai Giritari, conceived to be a meeting where those of you or those of us who are engaged in one project, that is the Bhakti Center, really become nourished, so that their services in New York City can receive more nourishment, more inspiration, and so on. And I talked with His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj, what are his inspiring ideas to such meetings, and he said, if the devotees can learn to form nourishing devotional friendships, then the service which they will do will become extremely attractive to the people. I like to think of this retreat like a builder of a house thinks of building a house. The higher he wants to go in his construction, the deeper the fundament which he builds has to be. Without a deep fundament, just going higher and higher can become dangerous, because the higher you go, if you don't have a fundament, the harder it will be when your construction crumbles and falls down. So what we are really trying to do here, starting with this evening, is to build strong foundations for us as servants in the Bhakti Center, foundations which will help us to do our services even better and more attractive, foundations which will nourish us in our spiritual life, And I really want to congratulate you all that you have seen the value of doing this. If you can really give yourself to this retreat, which, don't worry, won't be so hard driven as other retreats. In other words, there will be time for the basketball play and everything you need to do to relax a little. But the more you can give yourself into this experience and forming relationships with each other, that will serve you when you are in the jungle called New York. And when you are doing your services and so on. In our movement, senior devotees have again and again pointed out that it's important for them to meet, to discuss what is on their minds, what they have realized on their spiritual journey. If they can do this, it will strengthen them tremendously and definitely influence their service very much. So think of this retreat as a gas-filling station. Mm-hmm. You will hopefully, if Krishna is merciful to us, get fresh energy and fresh inspirations. And please also apply yourself to the retreat in a proper way. There's a law in spiritual life, I think you must be knowing it. In the degree you give yourself to Krishna, in that degree he answers and responds and reciprocates. So please know you can get a lot if you apply yourself sincerely. I also want to say I'm very honored that my dear God brother, under whom I served many years as my GVC, but also my friend, Ravinder Swarup Prabhu, and his good wife is here. I'm very happy to see them, and we will eat together and talk together like we always do. And I hope I can serve also your spiritual interests by giving something which is useful for you. Good. Are you ready?
Yes.
Really? Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasaya Bhutale Shimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Prachayine Nirvishesha Shunyavari Paskatyane Satarine Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasudeva You will just sing very briefly Jai Radha Madhava, our tradition. This first introduction to our series of further lectures and workshops during this retreat is called Laying the Foundation. What is the foundation of our spiritual life and therefore the foundation of chanting? On my last meeting with Srila Prabhupada, I felt he was laying the foundation. It was in 1977, and we had been called over the channel to London because we had heard that Prabhupada wanted to see us the last time. He was winding up his pastime in the material amongst us in this world. Srila Prabhupada had left Vrindavan with a plan to give one deep, deep inspiration to his devotees in Europe and then continue on to to America. But it became clear that he would have to cancel his America visit and quickly return to Vrindavan because he wished to give up his body there. So when we were called into the room of Srila Prabhupada, we were aware that this would be our last meeting. There were 7 of us, or maybe 9, but not now. And when we entered the room, Prabhupada sat on a comfortable chair, a rocking chair. He had spectacles on, sunglasses, I should say, sunglasses, which protected his eyes. And we offered our obeisances and gazed at him. We stared actually at him because he looked so thin, so emaciated. Prabhupada looked back on us. It was a long moment of silence. No one interrupted that silence. We didn't know if we should start saying something more. Then Prabhupada asked us in a sonorous voice, "So, have you understood our philosophy?" We knew now it was time for us to give answers, and one devotee said, "Savadavan Parichacha." Prabhupada dismissed it. Another said, "Yaradiko Tarikava Krishna Upadesh." Srila Prabhupada again dismissed it, this time asking, "Yes, but what is that Krishna Upadesh, that instruction of Krishna, which the verse says we should spread all over the world?" After some time, no one dared to give another answer. Then Prabhupada spoke into the silence which was there, something which I have always considered the fundament for practicing Krishna consciousness. He said, "First of all, you have to understand that life is eternal. First of all, you have to understand that life is eternal." Now with this, Prabhupada repeated something which he had said again and again in numerous occasions. He had pointed out, "You are not the body, but you are an eternal soul." No? Now, it happened that I had written this dialogue down to really remember it, how he said it. And And so happened that years later, in researching the chanting of the holy name for presentation, I read in the Hari Bhakti Vilas something which startled me at first. I became very uncomfortable because I could understand fundament, which Prabhupada laid. I have forgotten a little bit. I have not thought deeply about it. And then the Hari Bhakti Vilas, it said, spiritual activities like yajna, homa, and japa of the holy name cannot give the desired result if someone doesn't practice Buddha Shuddhi. I thought, what is Buddha Shuddhi? I mean, I want the desired result to come in my chanting, but do I miss here something? Buddha Shuddhi. Then I read about this. Buddha Shuddhi means it's a process which someone who wants to practice spiritual life, she undergoes, where he becomes free from the material identification, misconception, and basically understands that he is a soul different from the body and part and parcel of Krishna. To understand this is the basis for practicing spiritual life, including japa. It said there, japa, the chanting of the holy name. If you chant, I remember, oh, Prabhupada said, first of all, I must understand this very same point. I'm not the body, I'm a soul, I'm a part of Krishna. Then I can go ahead and all these other with all the other methods in Krishna consciousness. And obviously, I thought, wow, this is a fundamental statement. I read more and more and more about these statements. The Prabhupada says, we must understand that we are not the body but eternal soul, not theoretically, but what's the opposite of theoretically? Practically. It must be not just a mental concept, it must be a practical realization. That is in his opening words in Beyond Birth and Death. In the Bhagavad Gita is another statement like this. That beginning state in Krishna consciousness, we must understand we are an eternal soul. So this, we can't teach it in one evening. I have in my Vedic way a whole, it's called the Atma module, a whole huge section on this with many exercises. But I want to make an exercise with you where I want to quickly bring you to this understanding. What does it mean for me? I would like to ask you, first of all, a disturbing question. What if it is true that you're not the body? That you're something totally else than what you usually think you are? What if it is true? I'm not saying it is true. I'm just asking this disturbing question which points at a possibility that this is actually... What if you're not an Indian? What is if you're not a man? Who? What is not if you're not a woman? What is if there is no death for you? What if you are eternal? What would that mean for you? I mean when you go back to New York, would it influence something of your activities? Would it maybe change your approach to the sadhana which you do, the spiritual practice? How would it? This is a very important question. My dear devotees, it seems that this is not a truth only in the Bhagavad Gita. lecture for 45 minutes, and when the speaker goes over time a little longer, it seems this is a fundament of our existence. It seems that we must build our life on this thing. It means we have to stop being an illusion about ourselves in order to have any fruits in spiritual life. Krishna. I once met a devotee. It was a little... it was around 5 years after my last meeting with Srila Prabhupada. And the devotee asked me a question which really engaged me. The devotee said, "Sachinanda Maharaj," I said, "Yes." "Do you know who you are?" It was not a challenging question like they put on the internet nowadays. It was a serious question. "Sachinanda Maharaj, do you know who you are?" "What do you mean? On what level are you asking the question?" "No, I mean, do you know who in the core of your being you are?" "That's a very private question." I never was asked this question in the Hare Krishna movement, but I know it's a question which exists in the philosophical world. "Can I answer this question to you tomorrow?" He said, "Fine." So I went and I prayed. I said, "Prabhupada, I think this is you shaking me. When you said to me, first you need to understand that life is eternal, that you are eternal. And now this person asks me, who am I?" And I said to him the next morning, "Prabhu, what I know is that I'm not the body." He asked, "How do you know this? Do you repeat our philosophy or do you know?" I said, "Well, I had one out-of-body experience. I was once, when I was in surgery, I was out of the body, and I looked while they were working on my body, and I saw how a mishap happened, and how they became nervous. They cut a very important, it's not a vein, what is the other? Arteria. Yeah. They cut this and blood came out like a spring. But I was seeing it from above and I heard how before inflicting this wound to me, my belly was open at that time, the leading surgeon had said, "You know, when you make this swing in the golf," they were talking about golf playing, you just go very far back, like Tiger Woods. That there was no Tiger Woods at that time. You go very far back and you just have to find your swing, you know, from that, and then you go and then slash, he went into, and the blood came out and he inflicted a wound when he showed, demonstrated how to play good golf. I saw that from an above position. So I said, I had a different position than the body, and so on. And then we discussed about this. He was not satisfied. He said it's another phenomenon, not a spiritual phenomenon. We discussed this. But I want to ask you, do you know who you are? It's a good question. Is it a good question? Is it an unimportant question? Is it forbidden to ask such question? On what do you rest your life? This is very important. And I found by Prabhupada's mercy a sincere and answer which I could understand, which I really believe in. I said, "All I know is I am a servant of the Lord. I do not know which servant in particular. I trust that this becomes revealed, as I become more purified in my spiritual life. But this much I know, I'm a servant. Good. Now, when you chant Hare Krishna, you come to this spiritual identity very quickly. The meaning of this mantra is, please accept me in your service. It means really, it is a prayer to be reinstalled in our original constitutional position. That's the way Prabhupada said it. You could say in our spiritual identity. I was there when Prabhupada was in Germany talking to Pater Emanuel Jungklausen. And he said to him, I have not come to preach philosophy. I've come to simply ask you to chant Hare Krishna and purify your consciousness and then realize your constitutional position. That's my mission. I want you to become again real, to realize who you are, in a general way we understand we are servants. That's a position which the soul has, and therefore we talk about devotional service, and when we and we realize something. Once Srila Prabhupada was asked, Srila Prabhupada asked us a question. He said, this time he said, also very interesting question. He said, how do you know that Krishna is God? Mm-hmm. Prabhupada asked such a question. Be careful. So the devotees, I heard this from Gurudas. He had written it down in his book. The devotees said, well, it says so in the Bhagavad Gita. Prabhupada was not satisfied. He said, that's a book. How do you know that Krishna is God? Another devotee tried. He said, well, Prabhupada, you are the representative of God and you are telling us. Prabhupada was again not satisfied. He said, I could be just an old man who has a belief, you know, religious belief. How do you know that Krishna is God? It's a deep question. Do you want to hear Prabhupada's answer? He said, by your experience when you chant and when you perform devotional service, by that feeling, that experience, you get knowledge about this, realized knowledge. So the fundament of this Krishna consciousness movement is you start where you are, or you start with who you are, or you can also say, Prabhupada often said, who you are not. He expressed it this way around. He reversed the logic. He said, you're not the body. Mm-hmm. That's how you start. And then you know this is you realize this and who you are part of, that is Krishna, by the experience which you make when you chant. My dear devotees, chanting is the single process which has been singled out from all the 9 other processes of devotional service, which gives you 2 things. It gives you Krishna and ecstatic love for Krishna. It helps you to realize the Lord of whom you are a part. It helps you to realize that you are a servant of God, and it therefore takes you out of the material entanglement of birth and death. This is Krishna Das Kaviraj's opinion, or let us say he speaks about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saying this to Sanatan, that of all that he says the 9 processes of devotional service have the ability to deliver Krishna and free us from sins. And then he said, of all these 9, the chanting of the holy name gives us not only Krishna but love of Krishna, so that we can be reunited with him. I would like to make a little exercise with you. I see some of us are a little tired, and I want to come close to this. I have prepared something for this evening by Giridhari and Rukmini's mercy. I have been invited to teach Krishna Conscious Meditations in the Bhakti Center, and I thought, well, then let's celebrate this evening, do some meditation. I won't do something which requires deeper levels, because you're tired and you will sleep. No need. I will first of all take you somewhere with your eyes, and then I wish to take you to the same place in another way. Devotional services are very nicely practiced in Sri Vrindavan Dham, and I would like to take you this evening to the banks of the river Jamuna. When you go on pilgrimage to Vrindavan Dham or to any holy place, it is always recommended to take a bath in the holy river, so that we become purified from our accumulated coverings, reactions, or maya. And going to the river Yamuna in Vrindavan Dham is something which is highly rewarding in spiritual life. You can take a boat like this, spend some time with a boatman, surrounded by Yamuna Devi, and you certainly will feel something which every pilgrim feels, deeply moved in the heart, and a feeling of serving the Lord, doing worship, and also of feeling eternity nearby. The many sadhus who are sitting at the banks of the Yamuna, who you can see here as a deity. Yamuna is not just a river or H2O, a little polluted with daily waste. No, she is a divine goddess who can actually, in her essence, never be influenced by the human being in any way. Some of you are very close to His Holiness Radhana Maharaj. He once said to me, when he came to Vrindavan, he rested at the banks of the Yamuna. So I imagine him here in the evening. Because Yamuna is also called Yamuna Ma, the mother, the divine mother, who accepts her children the way they are. To perform spiritual activities like here, the devotees who make Yamuna Arati at the banks of the Yamuna is very wonderful. You can offer a light to the Yamuna, or you can offer a lotus flower, but more than anything, you can offer yourself. It is said that the spiritual or transcendental Vimana, there are lotus flowers, and they can hear the droning sound of intoxicated bees there. My dear devotees, those who have visited the Yamuna and offered in worship a lamp or a prayer have always felt touched by Yamuna's gift to us. We understand we are servants of Krishna. We are eternal. I like to show this slide because when our boat comes to take us across to our next destination, it is good if we are remembering Yamuna, Krishna, and that we are eternal souls on our journey, our flight back home, back to Godhead. This is also the idea of the meditation which I want to guide you in. Meditation on the holy name who helps, who is the Lord Himself, who has come into this world and who gives us the necessary realizations which we require. That is who we are, spiritual souls, and who we are in relationship to Krishna, His servants. This is called sambandha, our relationship. And only from that place you can chant with taste, and it will work. If your mind is in New York and you chant, or your mind is on your mobile phone and the exciting messages which you receive, or the disturbing messages, you are not in sambandha, you are not on the spiritual platform, you are not there where spiritual activities can become successful or give the desired result. So yes, I would like to now request that we put the lights again on, and I would like to make a brief guided meditation which ends into a prayer, in a prayerful chanting of the holy name. I request you to sit straight. It's very good to be on a chair. It is the idea is let the spine be straight. As Prabhupada said, sit properly. You must have heard this many times in the tape. We can request maybe Shraddha to open the door a little bit, that we have oxygen as long as it's free. It's very desired. We will make a guided meditation. For those of you who like, who are not familiar with meditation, no problem. You can just follow in your mind the instructions, and others, it's a guided meditation. We will not go in anything unknown to you, or things which you might not feel comfortable. I request you to look a little around, because we'll soon ask you to close your eyes if you wish. So it's nice if we know where we are, who's next to us, that we feel safe. And please take a few deep breaths and exhale. When you exhale, try to exhale a little bit more. Push. exhale completely, and a little bit more. Deep inhales and deep exhales, and a little bit more. Alright, that's enough breath left. Now just breathe normally. We just want to deepen a little bit our breath. When you're ready, please close your eyes or keep your eyes open. Those parents who have children at this moment, I think the children will not be benefited so much. So please take care of them. Mentally go to the Holy Yamuna River. Sit down on her wide and sandy banks. And in your mind's eye, focus on what you might see. Perhaps you see the sun setting on the horizon. Or a boatman bringing pilgrims to the opposite bank of the Yamuna. Just spend some time in the sacred atmosphere of the Yamuna River. Focus now on the sounds you might hear. Perhaps you hear a peacock in the distance, or some children playing in the waters of Yamuna Bay. Maybe a sadhu chanting mantras and offering prayers. Bring your attention, please, to your heart space now. Go a little inside with your attention. Continue to breathe calmly. It is here in the heart where the real you, the self, the soul of the servant of the Lord exists. Please listen to a prayer which the pujaris or priests chant before they enter the altar room to offer their services from this platform of the soul. I am by nature the eternal servant of Krishna. But because of my misfortune, I have been inimical toward him since time immemorial. I have been identifying myself with the body and been continuously wandering in the repeated cycle of birth and death in the material world. And I've suffered a burning threefold my spiritual master, I now know that I'm the eternal servant of Krishna, that I am an infinitesimal spiritual being, completely apart from the gross and subtle body. Now, by the order of my spiritual master, following his footsteps, I have obtained the good fortune of being able to serve his lotus feet and the lotus feet of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Sri Sri Radha Krishna. Mentally, now go into the holy Yamuna River. Enter slowly and respectfully. Maybe offer some water to the Yamuna in your palms. And dip into the river three times. And notice how your material identifications recede more and more with each dip. You take your first dip. The bodily identification goes. The second dip, the identification of the mind and what goes on in your mental worlds goes. And with the third dip, the identification with the false ego vanquishes. On the opposite bank, you mentally see the deities which you worship. Turn to them in prayer.
Yeah.
Because he felt overwhelmed with a responsibility which he could not do full justice to. See, he was a guru. How, he thought, can I lead souls to Krishna? How will this work? Deep in thought, he went to the banks of the river Yamuna with this question in his mind. How can I connect anyone with Krishna? It's a question which also we must ask ourselves as servants in the Bhakti Center. How can we bring those people who come to the temple, come into the presence of the deities, how can we really bring them forward on their spiritual path? This is a mighty task, an impossible task. So then he was determined to get the answer. He sat down on the banks of the Yamuna. He said, I'm not going to move from here before I have the answer. As the hours of the night progressed, his desperation grew. As the hours after midnight progressed, he still had no answer. Then are starting to get morning, all of a sudden in the darkness of the night, the Lord appeared to him and he said, "Oh, listen. Listen to these words of truth. You will have to convince people that they connect with me, that they enter into some bandha with me. For this I will give you now a meditation. Let them say these. Let them ponder about this meditation and you will see they will connect with me. And if you think that they are so conditioned, so contaminated, know that by any contact with me, conditioned souls get purified. Think of the water from the sewage systems of the villages. When they enter the Ganga, although the waters from the village are used up and dirty, when they come into the pure waters, they change and become Ganga. In the same way, souls who you bring in connection with me, who understand that connection with me, they will become purified in my pure servants. And then, this is from another tradition, it is a tradition of Vallabhacharya, who saw Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who conversed with him. Then a mantra was given, which is very identical to what you have meditated about, or heard about, or thought about this evening. The mantra goes very much along the same lines. There's some difference there, but I like to now enter into the Gaudiya, into our Chaitanya Sampradaya. It's simply this. It says what you also need to bring with you when you start to chant and enter a relationship. It goes like this. I am by nature the eternal servant of Krishna. But because of my misfortune, I have been inimical toward him since time immemorial. I have been identifying myself with the body and been continuously wandering in the repeated cycle of birth and death in the material world, suffering the burning threefold miseries. Then it continues, and now as a result of some unimaginable fortune, I've met my spiritual master and I've come to understand that in my truest essence, I'm really an eternal servant of Krishna. I'm completely apart from the gross and subtle body. And now, by the order of my spiritual master, following his footsteps, his example, I have obtained the good fortune of being able to serve his lotus feet and the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Sri Sri Radha Muridhara Radha Krishna Radha Sarasvata. You're supposed to put the name of the deities whom you worship and make this relationship. My dear devotees, tomorrow we will start at 6:30, right? Sorry?
That's okay.
Yes, 6:30 here. I know that some of us are overwhelmed from the stress of New York. So if you can't make it at 6:30, or the bathrooms are crowded with happy Vaishnavas, you should make an effort to be here at 7:00 in this temple room, and then we will practice all this in relationship to our japa. We will go very deep in our japa and try to enter into try to, he says, he's saying things simply now. Try to chant good japa, no? You will do this with some short inspirations, really very short. 5 minutes each, so tune in, and then you will. Good. Finished! If you want to ask any questions at this stage, that is possible. You look very different. It's really when one does these things becomes a little contemplative. One looks different, the atmosphere is different. Very often when I do these things with our devotees, they tell me always, Maharaj, what did you do with us? And I'm just saying, trying to put the instructions of the scriptures into a practical exercise. Summa summarum, what will help very much is when you enter your spiritual life, really, or with your spiritual practice, really from the platform of I am the soul. You know, then everything makes sense, and why you take a cold shower makes sense. You're not the body. Sacrifices which you do for the mission make sense. It is, we have to enter there. That is. Yes, I can't say it, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu does. You have your spiritual name, please tell. Something. Karuna Mahaprabhu. Yes, please ask your question.
Isn't
that answer a border on sentimentalism, or it seems a little uncomfortable to just say, by my experience, I know Krishna is God?
You have not understood,
that
you have not quoted Prabhupada's
answer, not by the experience which you make when you chant and serve Him, not experience of Him. But the experience which you make when you relate to Him, you feel blissful. Like Prabhupada said, the first example, the first symptom of a devotee is he is joyful. Brahma Bhuta Prasanna Na Sochati Na Kanchati, when he enters into service. Now I know that this is an answer which we hear. I will give you an answer which satisfies you because you have heard many times. Then Prabhupada once asked in India with his disciples the same question, how do you know that Krishna is God? And one devotee who was there in that initial exchange which I quoted said, it says so in the Bhagavad Gita. No, wait a minute. I give it away. Oh. Forget what I said, Karuna Guranga. So, Prabhupada asked the same question, how do you know that Krishna is God? Now, a devotee who was there at the first exchange said, by the experience which you make when you chant and serve Him. Prabhupada said, no. He says so in the Bhagavad Gita. In fact, once I was there in a dialogue where Prabhupada spoke, I will not speak what you wish to hear, but I will not end there. I will again come from another side. Wait a minute. So, my dear devotee, once Prabhupada was with Graf Durkheim, a German philosopher, walking, and this German philosopher who had an out, body experience in the war in Japan. You know, his body was really wounded and he fainted, and then he saw himself from another position. That happens. He said, after telling Prabhupada this, he said, how do you teach your disciples that they are not the body? Prabhupada stopped. And he said, I tell them what Krishna told them in the Bhagavad Gita. The man who was guiding self-realization things with meditation and all this said, that's all. Tell them what is in the holy book. Prabhupada said, that's enough. Because these are the words of the Lord. That is one aspect of Prabhupada's teaching. Teaching us Shastra and engaging us in devotional service. But he also had this other aspect in his teaching. Bhakti parishanu bhavo virakti anyatra chadi. When just like a person who eats makes an experience of not being nourished. In the same way, when you practice bhakti, you are getting satisfaction in your spiritual life, you get a realization in your spiritual life, and finally, parishanu bhava means experience, and finally, you leave behind what is not bhakti. No? This is in our scriptures also. So that experience, so that it doesn't turn into sentimentalism, devotional experience, is only possible when you change the false platform and start with, I'm not the body and not the mind. You must practice there so that it's genuine spiritual experience and not imagination or anything. But the experience is there. We say chant Hare Krishna and be miserable. No, sorry. We say chant and be happy. There should be this experience. And therefore, we need to learn how to do it properly. Wonderful question. Wonderful, Karuna Goranga. This is a very good question. These are just to bring out things. Mm-hmm. Anyone else? Then we'll end here. I wish you a wonderful, restful night. You deserve it. After coming from the jungle of New York. maybe Jai Giridhari, you want to say concluding words?
Thank you. We just thank you. So just very practical.